Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, in our study of Galatians chapter 2, we've come to the question of decision-making and the will of God, a subject that is proposed to us by Paul's visit to Jerusalem and his information given to us in verse 2 that he went up by revelation. He says in verse 1 that after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me, and I went up by revelation. In other words, God spoke to Paul. God revealed to Paul his need to go to Jerusalem. Obviously, God communicated to Paul in a very direct and definite way, and in a way, I might add, that was different from much of the guidance and decision-making that Paul experienced at other times. And we saw on the broadcast yesterday that when Paul decided to return to visit churches on his second missionary journey, there's no mention of any special divine guidance. It just seems to be something that Paul had a personal desire for, Acts 15:36 and following. We also can note that there were times that Paul was simply guided by circumstances, just like we are. Acts 16, for example, verses 7 and 8. Well, let's see. Maybe I'll begin reading earlier. Verse 6, Acts 16:6. Now when they, that's Paul and Silas, had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, that's where they had ministered before, that's the follow-up on yesterday's broadcast when Paul had desired to go back and visit the churches that they had established. So now they've done that. They've gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia. We read they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Question, how were they forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia? Answer, we don't know. We're just told that they were forbidden. Was this another divine revelation, a special revelation? Did the Holy Spirit say to Paul, don't preach in Asia? That's probably a reference to Ephesus, where he did preach later. But did the Holy Spirit tell him at this time, don't preach in Asia? That we don't know. We'll just have to let that one lie for a moment. But then verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, that is Paul and Silas and the missionary team, that's the they, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Again, question, how did the Spirit not permit them? We don't know. Verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now when we get to Troas, the will of God for the next step is pretty clear. A vision. A man of Macedonia saying, come over and help us. So that caused Paul and the missionary team, including Dr. Luke, who's writing this narrative, it caused them to get on the boat and cross the sea and go over to Macedonia, over to Europe, over to northern Greece, someplace where they'd never been before. So that part is clear, that God revealed this stage of missionary labors to them in a vision. But this part where they were forbidden, is likely just that circumstances didn't permit them. It didn't open up for them. We would call that maybe a door opening or closing. Sometimes it just happens that way. We make plans to do something, and then we can't do it. Something forbids. Something intervenes. We say, well, I know it wasn't God's will for me to do that because we've all had many instances of that, I'm sure, in our Christian life. I'm thinking about, for some reason, the incident from the life of Charles Spurgeon comes to my mind. There was a time in Spurgeon's early life when he considered that God wanted him to go to college. Actually, Spurgeon is an unusual man in that he never went to college. And I'm going to tell you why in a moment. He never went to college, though he founded a college. It's not that he didn't believe in them. This is not an encouragement to not train, to not get an education. Spurgeon was an unusually self-educated man. And it's possible to be self-educated if you are highly disciplined and are willing to read hundreds and thousands of books like Spurgeon did. Unfortunately, many of the people that I meet who disdain education aren't willing to discipline themselves to self-education either. Formal education isn't necessary, but it's generally a better option than self-education just because self-education is a lot harder to really do it, to get it right, to really know how to educate yourself properly. But Spurgeon was one of those unusual men who could do that. But there was a time when he was considering going to college, and he had applied, and there was an arrangement for him to meet with the president or whatever the proper officer of the college was. And Spurgeon came to the place where they were to meet, and the servant girl ushered him into a room. The college president came to meet with Spurgeon, and the servant girl ushered him into a different room. And here they are, sitting in different rooms, waiting for the other one to come, and of course, they didn't ever meet. They were sitting in adjacent rooms, neither one knowing that the other one was there, both of them wondering where the other one was. Through the carelessness, the absolute incompetence of a servant girl, who somehow, I guess, didn't realize that these two gentlemen that had come, that she had seated in separate rooms, were supposed to be meeting each other. I guess she thought each of them were supposed to meet someone else. I don't know. Strange, strange story. After a while, the college president said, "My time's up. I've got to go." He left. And Spurgeon took that as an indication that God did not want him to go to college. He shut the door. Through that strange circumstance. I don't know. Would you have read the providence of God that way, in that particular situation? You might have just doubled your effort and contacted him and apologized and said, "I'm so sorry for what happened. I didn't realize what happened until later." I don't know how Spurgeon even found out what happened. I suppose the servant girl told him or somebody told him. But anyway, let's try to arrange another meeting. That would be another possible outcome. I mean, there's really no way in this circumstance to say this is what God is indicating, this is what God is doing. But in this particular case, Spurgeon took that as an indication that God didn't want him to go to college. And he didn't go. It seemed like a closed door to him. It seemed like the Holy Spirit was forbidding him to go to college, at least at this time. So we all have things like that. I can think of a young lady that I remember had a real desire to go on a missions trip to a particular country. And she was making preparation to go, but God didn't supply the funds. She couldn't go. She didn't have the money. She wanted to go. She was willing to go. But God didn't supply the money. And frankly, there was no way for her to go. It just didn't come in. She didn't have it. And God didn't supply it from any other source. She didn't go. God closed the door through that means. That's a pretty obvious closed door. If you can't buy a ticket, if you can't go, you can't go. And sickness is often one of those hindering circumstances. I've known missionaries, the thought of missions comes to mind frequently here. I've known missionaries who wanted very much to serve in a certain country, felt like it was God's will. We had a couple from our church a number of years ago who offered themselves for service in Germany and were accepted by a mission board and raised the money to go, raised their support, went to Germany, but had to leave the field because the wife's health did not permit them to continue serving in that particular climate, and they ended up going to another country in a warm climate and served there for a number of years very successfully, but the wife was not able to serve in that cold, damp climate of Germany. You say, well, why did they think that's where God wanted them to go? What caused them to think that in the first place? I don't know. You say, well, God doesn't make mistakes. Why did they have this impression to go to Germany? I don't know that it was a mistake. How do you know that God wasn't using those circumstances to add some preparation to their life that they needed before he took them to another country with a warmer climate? I mean, it's evident that God did not permit them to stay in Germany. That much is very clear. They couldn't. They just could not do it. God brought health difficulties into their life that didn't make it possible. And so they had to find another solution. And again, that was just a natural thing. It wasn't that God spoke to them in the middle of the night and said, I want you to leave Germany now and go to the island of Antigua, which is where they went, in the Caribbean. God didn't speak to them. God didn't come to them in a dream or in a vision in the middle of the night and say, come to Antigua, like they did here for Paul when they saw a man from Macedonia in the middle of the night in a vision beckoning them and saying, come over to Macedonia. But that didn't happen. They just found it impossible to minister. The wife's health was such that in that cold, damp climate, she was in so much pain, so disabled, that she really just wasn't able to contribute to the work. In fact, she actually was a detriment rather than a help. Her husband had to spend so much of his time helping his wife that he was hindered in the ministry. They went to a warm climate and found it entirely different. There she was able to function. There she was able to do. She was a very, very godly woman, a very active woman, very dedicated woman, a woman who had a lot of talents and abilities, and there in that warm climate she flourished. And they made a wonderful missionary team, and together they were able to accomplish a great deal for the Lord. They founded a church, and they became involved in a school, training national workers and so forth. And they had a wonderful ministry in that warm climate, but how did they miss it? I'm not sure they did miss it. I think God had some things for them to learn in Germany that they could learn no other way. But it was just simply circumstances. Open door, closed door. They wanted to go to Germany. What if they had not been able to raise the funds to go? They wouldn't have gone there initially. They announced their desire to go and presented their need to churches, and God gave a favorable response. They raised the money, went to Germany. God didn't close that door, but after they got there, he then began to close the door little by little until finally they said, hey, it's pretty evident this is not where we need to be. And they went to another place. God supplied the funds for that, and their supporting churches stayed with them, and then everything went well, and they were able to labor there for an extended period of time. Nothing that seems to be supernatural in all of this, and yet it is. This is the way God guides. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.